This is the Taz and Jim podcast.
The guidelines for healthy drinking when it comes to alcohol released by the government last week. CHCH TV was doing some streeter interviews and they found a gem.
That's the main point here is why are they telling me what I can drink at home? What, can I have 2 liters of pop? Can I have 2 liters of pop? Well, what's more healthy? 4 beers or 2 liters of Coca-Cola? Do the math.
You can't handle the tooth.
It's Taz and Jim, and I think we've tracked down the 2 liter pop guy. Dino, is it really you?
Yeah, that's me.
What a ride you're on here now, bud.
Oh, it's crazy.
We're going to need some evidence. Could you give us some of your catchphrases, please?
You can't handle the tooth.
What about the 2 liters of pop? We need to hear the go-to.
Can I have 2 liters of pop?
It's him.
It is him. Jim, you got so excited when you saw this video for the first time.
Yeah, because you know what? Your reaction was kind of a lot of our reactions, just funnier. So what happened that day? You're in St. Catharines. You get approached by a news guy. What happened?
I just got back from my doctor, right? I'm telling my buddy, I said, okay, I've done my doctor appointments. Take me to the fucking, oops, no swearing, right?
You can swear.
Okay, good. So I says, take me to the fucking liquor store. I need some vodka. He's like, no, Dino, you go stick to your beer today. We pull in, and the cameras are there. And I says, uh-oh, what's this?
Now it's my time to shine.
I says, cameras?
This is your shot, Dino.
Rock and roll. I walk up to the, and they were wrapping up. They were finished. Right?
Yeah.
And I says, the guy says, what's this all about? He goes, then he says something about the guidelines. I didn't even know, right?
Yeah.
And I says, okay. I says, can I get in on this? The guy says, okay. And then all that happened.
What does your doctor say? How many beers did your doctor say you should be drinking a day?
He don't know.
Well, did you give
I think he might yeah, I think now.
He might have a couple suspicions.
It's been pretty crazy, though.
Right on. Well, this was your moment. You really stepped up to the plate. How does it feel to get all this attention?
Well, it's okay.
Did you just fart?
Did I fart?
Yeah.
No, but I could if you'd like.
No, we're good.
It's all right.
You've got to be liking it a little bit.
Are you sitting on a leather chair? I heard something there. Did you hear?
Either you're at the park and a duck just walked by. Or...
I heard a little quack.
Yeah. But you don't tell me you're not enjoying the attention, Dino. Come on, you seem like the life of a party.
Well, in the comment sections of everywhere.
Yeah.
I gotta say, Canadians are f***ing hilarious.
What's the best comment you've read? What's the funniest comment you read?
Well, the Ron Jeremy ones.
You do have a bit of a young Ron Jeremy vibe.
Yeah, oh no, everybody's saying, it's Ron Jeremy, oh my God, he's in Hamilton. And believe me, I've been called Ron Jeremy, like I say, since before poutine reached Ontario. That's how long.
Now, does all of you look like Ron Jeremy, or just like from the waist up?
You can't handle the dude.
Oh boy!
Dino, we're scrolling through, and you've started some social media pages here. 2 liter pop guy, if you want to follow him on Twitter. We were scrolling through your videos, and we saw that your dream is to sing the Canadian national anthem at a Hamilton Tiger Cats game.
Hey, you want me to show you how I'm going to do it? Watch, I'll give you a couple notes so the Tiger Cats hear this. You ready?
Yeah.
This is breaking news, my friends. Oh, Canada. What do you think?
Not bad, not bad.
You left us wanting more, Dino.
Oh, you can't do that. They gotta be at the game.
All right, well, Dino, if we do see you at a Ticats game, we're gonna buy you a couple cold beer or 2 liters of pop. It's up to you, okay?
No pop for me.
What's next? What's next for Dino, the 2 liter pop guy? What are you gonna do?
I don't f***ing know.
Oh boy, do the math.
What's your station? I'll give you a little call thing, like a thing that you can play. I'll do the You Can't Handle the Tooth.
Okay.
Okay.
Taz and Jim.
You got
Taz,
it, buddy.
Taz, T-A-Z, and Jim.
Okay, ready?
Yep.
You're listening to Taz and Jim, and You Can't Handle the Tooth. Rock and roll!
Two drinks a week, what's that going to do for you? Can I have 2 liters of pop? Well, what's more healthy, 4 beers or 2 liters of Coca-Cola? Do the math.
I love that at the same time we had this dude on the air over on our brother station, 900 CHML. Rick Zamperin was interviewing the Prime Minister of Canada. the two-liter pop guy. And now the big controversy, and we've had a number of listeners weighing in on this, and most people are on our side. The big question is, did the two-liter pop guy, a.k.a. Dino, did he fart mid-interview on the radio? Devin Peacock, our sports guy, thank you for sticking around. We wanted to get some fresh ears on this thing. Listen carefully, see if you pick anything up.
It's been pretty crazy, though.
Right on. Well, this was your moment. You really stepped up to the plate. How does it feel to get all this attention?
Well, it's okay.
Did you just fart?
Did I fart?
Yeah.
No, but I could if you'd like.
No, we're good.
That's all right.
You got to be liking it a little bit.
Are you sitting on a leather chair? Did you hear it, Dev?
I heard it immediately.
I mean, it's hard to miss.
Okay, let's isolate that.
Well, it's okay.
It's like he punctuated his statement with the flatulence.
Is he a trumpet player?
Maybe.
What else could it be?
Now, it could be a chair sliding across the floor in a school classroom.
Leather chair. Yeah. Leather chair. Sometimes if you're wearing sneakers on like a hardwood floor, if you move the wrong way,
yeah, sometimes your palm. Sometimes the skin of your palm, yeah, if you rub it on a table, will make a sound.
That has the weight of a fart, though.
The heft.
The heft.
Yeah, yeah. The bass.
consensus is everyone thought it was a fart. But
just knowing this guy's natural behavior, he lives fast and loose, you know?
But there's also, this is, and I kind of agree with this, because after he may or may not have farted.
Did I fart?
Yeah.
No, but I could if you'd like.
He offers to brew one up for us.
Nice guy.
So it's not like he really has much shame.
Okay.
A number of text messages saying, seems like the type of guy, if he did fart, he'd take full ownership.
You know what, though? Full ownership. Did he take full ownership when he was asked how much beers he drank?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, 2 beers, 4 beers, 6 beers.
Yeah. Now, I'm not calling him a liar by any means, because if I'm put on the spot, I'm not being honest, too, in that situation.
Also, there's a difference. I mean, you can be a responsible farter, like doing it on demand, and then there's just casual, just like letting it rip. I mean, he sounds like a guy that if you're going to fart and take credit for a fart, you do it on purpose.
He also kind of comes across as the type of guy who may fart and not realize it.
Sure.
Did you fart? I don't know, maybe.
Who could say?
It's in the realm of possibility. It happens all the time. All right. Well, you share your thoughts. What do you guys think?
Oh boy. This guy, though. Like, you know what's great, though? I think we were the first media people to get a hold of this guy and get an interview with him.
Exclusive behind
the
scenes.
Aside from the hero Matt Ingram on CHCH.
Matt Ingram,
News.
Full credit to Matt Ingram from CHCH, because he found this guy initially. And if that video hadn't gone viral, we wouldn't even know about Dino. But, you know, he's a Hamilton, St. Catharines guy. You've seen him around town. He may or may not have started his career in broadcasting as a strip club DJ. I don't know. He was saying something
this
off
the
air.
This is the rumor.
But yeah, it was nice that we tracked him down. We got him. You can see the video and listen to the full interview with Dino, the 2 liter pop guy, on our social media accounts. Look for us, Taz and Jim.
The Taz and Jim Podcast.
You know who doesn't like Rush? I was surprised to find this out yesterday. I was listening to the Smartless podcast with Jason Bateman and friends, you know?
Yep.
They had Bono on.
Okay, U2 Bono?
U2 Bono. And he made a snide comment about not liking Rush. He compared the Smartless guys, Will Arnett, Sean Hayes, Jason Bateman, to a power trio.
Sure.
Said doing a podcast is a lot like being in a band. And I'd agree with that. And we've made the comparison before. Jim, we compare ourselves to Hall & Oates all the time.
Yeah, of course. It's all about rhythm, you know, and harmony.
You got to find your spots, right? But the guys were like, he's like, you're a power trio, like the Police. And then one of the Smartless guys is like, yeah, or Rush. And Bono's like, oh, don't be Rush.
Oh, shut the hell up, Bono.
He said, don't be Rush. He said, this is one of the things that Edge and I disagree on. So Edge is cool.
No way that Bono actually doesn't like Rush. That's insane to me.
They didn't go deep into it. It was just that one comment, but I thought it was weird as well. I wonder what Rush did to U2 or said about U2 back in the 80s to cause this disdain that Bono has carried with him.
Is it because they played their instruments so well?
Yeah.
They're so talented?
Don't be Rush. Their lyrics are incredible. The drumming is out of this world.
Well, if
Geddy's voice is super unique.
Yeah, like if one random person off the street says, I don't like Rush, I get it, because it is kind of like a weird band in a certain sense, but if you are a musician yourself, you've got to appreciate Rush. That blows my mind.
Yeah, me too. There's more to the story. Maybe if we ever get another chance to talk to Alex Lifeson.
What did you do?
What did you do to Bono, Alex?
What did you say about Irish people?
He hasn't forgotten.
You want to see your peacock,
I want to see your peacock,
You want to see your peacock,
I want to see your peacock,
Your peacock,
Your peacock, Your peacock.
Devin Peacock, our sports guy, is here. Dev, what do you think? Are Dallas Cowboy fans overreacting by smashing their TVs and burning their jerseys after the team's loss to San Fran on the weekend?
I don't know why people do that. Yeah, of course. I mean, that's one of the, like, you got to buy a new TV now. Like, that's not Dak Prescott's fault. That's your fault.
You're punishing yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't really understand it. And including like burning the jersey, like you paid good money for it. A jersey especially. I mean, $150 is not out of the realm of possibility when you buy one of these brand new.
Well, I remember like all the Cavaliers fans when LeBron left and they
He won them a championship.
After he won them a championship. He won a championship when he came back.
You're right. My mistake.
But
you're right.
What he did was he left for Miami. They burned his jerseys. He comes back and they love him again. Like,
Now they don't have a jersey.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that LeBron went back to Cleveland and won that championship just to troll all the people who had burnt their jerseys.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, hey, where are your jerseys, guys?
And then he makes double the profit because they have to buy them again.
Did you see the dude? It must have been like a 65, 70-inch TV. A Dallas fan rips it off the wall, brings it out into his driveway, throws it on the driveway, gets in his truck, and repeatedly runs it over with his car. That'll teach him.
He's a fun guy at parties, huh? I'm sure he's...
Yeah. No, it's the exact opposite, because when that guy snaps, if you're watching football or any sport with the one friend who's taking it too seriously and they lose their mind, it gets really awkward in the
party's
room.
Over.
Yeah, it's like the tension's there.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, it's dumber than the team actually losing. You shouldn't even be a fan. Just go cheer for the Jaguars or something like that.
What did you want to say about the Cowboys?
So I almost feel like the fans, like someone who's like with the Dallas Cowboys, is really hurting right now because they're in a shame spiral based on their Twitter account. Like, the team is taking shots at their own players. So they had a tweet yesterday where they had a link to their website saying, Dak Prescott gave away the ball twice in a narrow loss to the 49ers in a matchup the Cowboys had a chance to win if they didn't, again, generate self-inflicted wounds. They had another tweet about how Mike McCarthy was going to take the podium following the loss. He was supposed to talk about what a special season it was. Instead, it ended up being anything but.
Wow.
And so they had a bunch of these types of tweets. Like, is Jerry
Jones...
That's
like ESPN.
Yes. Like, is Jerry Jones...
And this is the official account.
This is the official account of the Dallas Cowboys. And there's a bunch of them. Like, there was another tweet that was talking about plays that might be forgotten include Tony Pollard's game-changing injury and a dropped interception by Trayvon Diggs.
Wow, look at this one. Can the Dallas Cowboys turn it around for the 2023-24 season? All signs pointing to no. I'm just joking. It's almost there, though.
Yeah,
like,
I'm wondering...
Some faith.
Like, does Jerry Jones now have control of the Twitter account? He's just in like some massive shame spiral. Like, what's going on here?
Tom Brady was on his own podcast and he got a little salty when he was asked by Jim Gray about whether or not he's going to retire.
Do you have any type of a timetable as to what you might want to do regarding your football career?
Jim, if I knew what I was going to do, I'd have already done it. Okay. I'm taking it a day at a time.
I sense you're antagonized by the question.
You're scratching. I appreciate your asking. Thank you.
Not antagonized at all. I just live in Florida now, and that's how we talk down here.
Jim Gray's always the guy. Like he hosts the podcast with Tom Brady. When LeBron went to do the decision, he was the guy that did that. Jim Gray seems to be the guy all the athletes go to be their messenger here.
Well, no answer from Brady.
Yeah, I'm sure he's heard the question 1,000 times. You'd think they'd have communicated whether he's going to talk about it or not.
Yeah, maybe talk for like 30 seconds before you hit record.
Well, I'll tell you something, guys. As a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan, I have my lighter ready. If you go somewhere else, Tom Brady, there's going to be a blaze in Taz's backyard. Thanks, Dev.
This is the Taz and Jim Podcast.
Yesterday, the Golden Raspberry Award nominees were announced, and they celebrate the worst in film. Riding the Oscars coattails, they always announce them the day before the Oscar noms come out, which is today, this morning at 8:30, they start announcing the Oscar nominations. We'll keep an eye on that for you a little later in the show, but the Razzie Awards, as they call them, the best or worst...
The best of the worst?
The best of the worst is this Marilyn Monroe movie that came out. It was on Netflix, Blonde.
This one kind of flew under the radar. It was like a big deal before it came out, and then immediately I stopped hearing about it.
Yeah, there was a lot of hype, and then it fizzled immediately.
Guess it sucks.
Anna de Armas, you know her? She was dating Ben Affleck for a while. She did not get nominated for Worst Actress, but Blonde was nominated in 8 different categories, including Worst Picture. Here are your Worst Picture nominees. Blonde, the live-action remake of Pinocchio, that's on Disney+. Good Morning, which is a film I had to look up here. It stars Machine Gun Kelly.
Yeah, okay.
And his girlfriend Megan Fox. It's like a romantic comedy. With those two in it.
Boy, if sight unseen, I could tell you that's a terrible movie.
The King's Daughter and Morbius, the vampire superhero movie, which, it didn't do well in the theaters either.
I never saw that one. Did you bother?
I did watch it, and because I was told it was absolutely terrible, I probably enjoyed it more than I should have. The guy who plays the villain in that movie, he's a British guy. You'd recognize him.
Okay.
I think he was on The Crown, and he did a great job in the movie. I thought the villain was good. Overall, it was very forgettable.
Oh, that guy played Doctor Who.
Yes, one of the Doctor Whos.
Yeah, yeah.
You get a good British guy in there as a villain, and you know it.
Evil.
Yeah, the British are great villains now. Worst actor, Machine Gun Kelly. For Good Morning, Pete Davidson. He was the voice of Marmaduke, I guess.
What? On what?
There was a Marmaduke movie
over the past year.
I missed
that one.
Tom Hanks for Pinocchio.
A rare Razzie for Tom.
Well, not rare. He's been nominated 3 times for 2 different movies, for Pinocchio and Elvis. So this seems to happen with the big superstars who are Oscar winners. They're applauded through their careers, and then all of a sudden, they're considered terrible actors when they start doing too many movies. When it's like they're in their twilight of the career, and they're saying yes to everything. It happened to Stallone, Bruce Willis. they've all been nominated for Razzie Awards, right?
But you would think, you know, from Tom Hanks' perspective, the live-action Pinocchio and Elvis, you'd think it would be a win. Like, those are two big projects.
He was pretty cheesy in Elvis.
Yeah.
The makeup looked bad.
Yeah, it was a little unnecessary.
Colonel Tom Parker, he's playing Elvis's longtime manager. And compared to how hard Austin Butler was trying in that movie, it did seem like Hanks was kind of mailing it in.
Yeah, maybe. Hmm. And it's also, I think it's also like the Razzies, they like to pile on the big names because it does get attention too, you know? If you're just like crapping on like really bad movies that nobody's ever seen, nobody's going to pay attention to the Razzies
at
all.
Need a little star power at the Razzies as well. I wonder if Hanks will show up.
That's the best.
Occasionally celebrities do show up to accept the Razzies.
Sure. Halle Berry.
I don't know if Tom Hanks is one of those guys, but we'll find out. Worst actress. This one's getting attention because this girl's only 12 years old and she's been nominated for worst actress. Ryan Kira Armstrong from a remake of Firestarter, the Stephen King film. She has been nominated for Worst Actress, and people are saying that a 12-year-old should not be nominated for this sort of thing. It's just mean.
It seems less fun. Like, I don't want to, like, I haven't seen the movie. Maybe she's, she must be awful, though. You know what I mean? Like, for them to go that low.
I almost think that, kid actors should have their own category at the Razzies.
Worst kid actor.
Because a bad kid actor can completely ruin a film.
Can I call one out here? Not a film, but a TV show. That Obi-Wan movie, or sorry, TV show on Netflix. That child actor. I'm
Princess
as bad
Leia?
As the Razzies people. Yeah, the Princess Leia. She was adorable and, you know, she was sweet, but it was almost too made for TV acting. Like, it would have been fine on a children's show and nobody would have known, but oh boy.
I have some buddies in the industry and they have told me that when you're casting a kid, it's make or break.
Because they can nail the audition.
They're either going to make your movie or they are going to ruin your movie.
And you really appreciate a good kid actor. Like, looking back, even Macaulay Culkin was an incredible actor at a young age.
Haley Joel.
Undeniable.
Success.
So good.
Seeing dead people. I believed he was seeing dead people. So the Razzie Awards, the full list of nominees is out there, and they're going to announce the winners on March 11th, the night before the Oscars, which is March 12th.
And now, the winner is... Devin Peacock.
I want to see you peacock, cock, your peacock. Cock.
Taking a look at sports with Devin Peacock, our sports guy. Dev, yesterday you were commenting on the Vancouver Canucks firing Bruce Boudreau, their coach. And I thought you did an okay job, but your reporting on the situation can't compare to this woman, one of the anchors of the Fox News affiliate in Washington, D.C.
Former Washington Capitals coach Bruce Boudreau has been fired by the Vancouver Canucks. The team announced the change Sunday, less than a week after president of hockey operations Jim Rutherford said major surgery was needed to fix the Canucks. Rick Tuchet was hired as Boudreau's replacement.
Every word was wrong.
Well, she got Jim Rutherford right. Let's give credit where credit's due. What do you think about the Boudreau situation with the Canucks?
Well, first off, Boudreau used to work and coach in Washington, D.C., so that's unforgivable. I mean, that's an NHL city. They should know how to pronounce basic hockey things. As crazy as that sounds, there's also the whole what's coming out now in terms of what the Vancouver Canucks are paying for their head coaching this year, which is over $7 million. They are paying Rick Tocchet $2.75 million to be their head coach for the next 2.5 years. They're paying Travis Green still $2.75 million. They extended him back in May of 2021, and then fired him 6 months later. And they're paying Bruce Boudreau $2 million this season. So you put it all together, they're paying like over $7 million for their head coaching. There are a lot of things wrong in Vancouver, but the coaching for me would be near the bottom of the list. It's all these decisions that the managers are making.
Yeah, no wonder they can't afford to build a team around Bo Horvat. They got no money left.
Fire coaches, pay Bo Horvat. That's what I say.
Let's jump over to Toronto, and your Toronto Maple Leafs had a dominant win over the Islanders last night.
Yeah, William Nylander had a four-point night. It's interesting. He was reunited with John Tavares, and Nylander's been playing a lot of this season with Austin Matthews, and the Leafs shook things up a little bit last night. Put Marner back with Matthews. Matthews also promptly scored when that happened. I think the Leafs are at their best when you split up Matthews and Marner. They clearly love playing together, but Tavares and Nylander have really good chemistry, and so mixing it up at different times does prove beneficial, as it did last night.
I believe it's pronounced Nylander. It might actually be.
Yeah, we may have been having it wrong the whole time.
Thanks, Dev.
Former Washington Capitals coach Bruce Boudreau has been fired by the Vancouver Canucks.
The Taz and Jim Podcast.
Did you know that Prince Harry's book, Spare, quickly became the fastest-selling nonfiction book of all time, Jim?
I did. Sad.
And Prince Harry is saying that he's got more than enough material to write a second book. Arguable. I'd say he didn't have enough material to write the first book.
It really seemed like he was scraping the bottom of the barrel, right? With some of these?
I'm going to put the time I got frost nip on my todger in there. It's going to be the most exciting chapter in the book.
Oh, man.
Well, obviously now these book companies are going to be all over big celebrities to write scandalous memoirs.
Of course.
And the next big one that is coming out next week, you got Pamela Anderson's new memoir being released. Some excerpts have been shared with Variety magazine prior to the release, and one of them alleges that Tim Allen... Is that a good Tim Allen?
I think I know who you're referring to. Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of doing like a mix between Santa Claus and Tim Taylor from Tool Time.
Well, he was both, so...
Yeah, it works. She was, for a while, on Home Improvement the original Tool Time girl, right?
Loved it.
Pamela Anderson says one time Tim Allen exposed his naked body to her on set of Home Improvement.
Oh, boy.
She was 23 years old at the time. Tim Allen would have been 37. She says in her book, Love, Pamela, on the first day of filming, I walked out of my dressing room. Tim was in the hallway in his robe. He opened his robe and flashed me quickly, completely naked underneath. He said it was only fair because he had seen me naked. Now we're even.
That doesn't sound fair at all. First off, everybody wants to see Pam naked. Nobody wants to see Tim Allen naked. Number one.
I laughed uncomfortably, says Pamela Anderson.
Oh, man. I mean, it's a he said, she said moment here, but I don't not believe her, that's for sure.
Well, Tim Allen is saying the opposite. No, it never happened. I would never do such a thing. He has told multiple media outlets that. He's sticking by his story.
I mean, who knows, but...
It was a different time. You thought you could get away with a lot more back then. You didn't realize... this stuff would come back to haunt you decades later.
Or like that random hot girl from set was going to be a continuous celebrity for the next 40 years.
Hey, this no-name actress, no one will ever care what she has to say. Yeah. Check out my tool. Ho, 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 ho.
We got to figure this out. I hope not. Yeah. I hope not.
Well, listen, maybe he thought it was funny. Maybe he thought it was innocent if it did happen. And in hindsight, he realizes what a bad idea it is to flash your naked body to a coworker in the workplace.
Like, Al Borland would be so disappointed. That was a wholesome man there.
Yeah, Al Borland would never do that.
I wouldn't believe it. But Tim, maybe.
The Taz and Jim Podcast.
Jim, I thought of you last night at the Taz house. We were having fajitas for dinner, and I know how much you hate fajitas.
I like home fajitas. I don't like it when you're gallivanting around town and say, oh, look at me. I got the loudest dish in the restaurant.
Yeah, you think it's show-offy to order fajitas at a restaurant?
I think it's a little bit. It's like sizzling. The waiter's like going through the crowd.
Everyone has to smell your dinner on the way by.
All the heads turn. Then he's like, "Oh, plate's hot. Yeah, I know it's sizzling. Put it down." But and then that's good though. You have it at home, and then you actually like you're not paying somebody to not make your food for you.
That's true. It wasn't many more steps for us to make fajitas at home compared to at a restaurant.
Truly. Like, imagine you order a club sandwich and it came out and there was like a couple slices of bread, a tomato you had to cut yourself, everything separate, and then you had to put it together yourself.
It's a rip-off.
Most overrated.
They should be paying you at the restaurant to order fajitas.
At least no tip, I say.
They were good, though. Steak. Steak fajitas.
Nice.
So you do enjoy the taste of a fajita.
Yeah.
It's just the whole production.
Yeah, it doesn't need to. I don't know why you have to put it together yourself. Right. Can't they fold it up and like put a toothpick in it? Like, why do you have to make it yourself?
Yeah. Well, that's good. You can order a wrap.
Then just do that. But it's not always the same flavors.
Yeah.
Because I don't know.
I wonder if you said, hey, can you wrap my fajitas for me and bring them out? How many restaurants would say, sure, we can do that for you?
They'd say it's against the law. We can. There's a local bylaw here.
Yeah, we've signed an agreement with the Fajita Association of North America. We are not allowed to wrap your fajitas for you.
If we do that, this whole sizzling fajita dish bowl company is going to go completely out of business because it has no other use. You know those things got that little clay pot lid on it sometimes? So your fajitas stay warm?
The tortilla.
The tortilla.
Container.
Yeah,
container. I mean,
yeah.
Well, yeah, and also like the sizzling plate business would be affected
totally,
as well.
Totally, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they may be listening right now thinking, would you two just shut up? I
we
work
got a good
at the
thing
sizzling
going here.
Plate factory, and you're going to put us out of business if you keep talking.
If you enjoy fajitas, go ahead.
I love them.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.